Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Your week here with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but hey, swing over there. You never know what might pop up, or just catch up on some old blogs. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan, going all the way back to Friday when I built that FanDuel lineup, and I was pretty excited about it. It ended up being my best one of the year. I scored 269.1 points.
But.
Yeah. So I don't know how that happened, but it magically worked out for me. I did play an earlier lineup today that did not produce as well. So we will see how this evening's lineup goes. So here's what I ended up with for tonight. I am going to go with Colin McHugh of the Astros for $8,100 as my pitcher. Christian Vasquez of the Red Sox. He cost me $2,700. He's hitting fifth for them tonight. He's my catcher. First base, I'm going with Rhys Hopkins of the Phillies. He's hitting cleanup for them. Cost me $4,200. Second base, I got Robinson Cano of the Mariners. He's hitting third for them. He cost me $3,700. Third base, I've got Alex Bregman of the Astros. He's hitting sixth for them tonight. Cost me $3,500. Shortstop, tonight I like Xander Bogaerts of the Red Sox. He's going to lead off for them. He cost me $3,500. In the outfield, I got another Red Sox here. My third Red Sox is Mookie Betts. He's hitting third for them tonight. Cost me $4,500. Then I went with Nicky Delmonico of the White Sox. He cost me $2,400. He's hitting fifth for them tonight. And my outfield wraps up with Jason Wirth of the Nationals. He cost me $2,300, and he's hitting fifth for them tonight. So real quick, the recap. I got Colin McHugh pitching, Christian Vasquez catching, Rhys Hopkins at first, Robinson Cano at second, Alex Bregman at third, Xander Bogaerts at short, and the outfield is Mookie Betts, Nicky Delmonico, and Jason Wirth. This, of course, is for the 605 Main League, which starts in about 31 and a half minutes. So there you go. Good luck. Hope you pick up some cash tonight. So, all right. Well, you know, Dan, I know there was one afternoon game. You know, it was the makeup game between the Yankees and the Royals. And the Yankees did end up winning. Let me hunt down the score here real quick. Not that it's all that important. But the Yankees picked up the win 11-3. Of course, the big news in the game was Aaron Judge homered twice to break Mark McGwire's rookie record. So can't say I was really surprised by it with the way, you know, the baseball is this year. You know, I'm convinced that, you know, you'd hit 20 if you were playing every day. So it's not really that big of a deal, but it started a kind of well, they tried to make it an interesting debate, even though I don't buy that it really is. But now, you know, everybody is under the impression that Aaron Judge is the American League MVP. Are you buying this, or, you know, where are you?
Well, I mean, they definitely fall for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, well, he'll be the Rookie of the Year. You know, there's no doubt about that. But, you know, now that he's at the, you know, the 50 mark and he broke the record and, you know, all that fun stuff, they decided to put him back in the MVP race because he dropped out of it when he went through about that 6-week slump after the All-Star break. You know, of course, the odd thing people forget to mention is while he is hitting 283, he does have the 50 bombs and 108 RBIs. He struck out 203 times, Dan. So, you know, while, you know, he has walked 120, so he is taking his walks, but yeah.
Well, I mean, he does technically hold the most categories of stats that MLB actually acknowledges.
Home runs and strikeouts? Yeah, now, do you think it's just because there's a lack of really quality candidates in the American League that they're kind of talking to talking about him, or is it the fact that he's in New York?
Oh, I think a big part of it is he's in New York, and everybody likes the home run ball.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, it's clear-cut. Jose Altuve is the American League MVP. There's really no doubt about that. There was no doubt about it last year either, but they were still dumb enough to give it to Mike Trout. Don't be surprised if you hear Trout's name mentioned again. He is at 309 right now with 29 homers, but he does only have 66 RBIs. So I assume that will be when RBIs no longer matter, is when they start talking about Mike Trout again. He actually has walked more than he struck out, so it's nice to see because his strikeout numbers were big last year. But, yeah, just, you know, kind of looking, you know, at the board, I mean, out of guys who are having great years. You know, Jose Ramirez was on fire for a while for the Indians, and it looked like he was going to get himself in the MVP race, but then he kind of flamed out. You know, Eric Hosmer's having a good year, but the Royals have kind of, you know, went by the wayside. And yet, you know, I mean, there's just not a bunch of huge candidates. You know, Joe Mauer's hitting well, but he's got seven dingers. You're not going to win an MVP with seven home runs. It just doesn't seem like there's a ton of guys in the American League. So, you know, they see the nice new 50 shiny home runs, and Aaron Judge goes to the top of the list.
Pretty much. And I think in the Trout's defense, it is hard to rack up RBIs when you're leading off or batting second.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of those guys who's trapped in that spot like Chris Bryant where, you know, well, there's nobody on base for him to drive in, you know, and so it's like you can't decide RBIs matter now because he's not in a position to drive him in. But, yeah, you know, like I said, just, you know, kind of hopping around here. I mean, you know, Nelson Cruz has had a really good year for the Mariners, but it's not an MVP-type year. I believe he's leading the American League in RBIs. Yeah, he's got 115, and he is hitting 89, but, you know, like Justin Upton has had a really good combined year. You know, there's a lot of guys who are having, like, good years but not great years. And, you know, and it's just kind of like, okay, well, where do you go? And, I mean, God, I'd hate to see Altuve get robbed again. But, you know, with Judge being on the East Coast and – you know, obviously New York getting the buzz, he could sneak in and steal this, and that would be a travesty.
I don't think it's the end of the world.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, I didn't even mention, you know, Abisail Garcia's had a really good year with the White Sox. You know, he's hitting 331. He's the guy behind Altuve with 18 homers and 80 RBIs. But, you know, playing, you know, that's like the same thing like Joey Votto in the National League. I mean, Votto has legitimately had an MVP winning season, but those guys, you know, they're not winning anything on the teams they're on. The only guy who's winning off a bottom feeder team like that is Mike Trout.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they should redefine it and say that the only way the guy can win the MVP is if he's from the top six or eight teams. I mean, let's just get it out of the way.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, is it the best player on the best team? you know, how are you, you know, how are you kind of deciding this? But, you know, it's just like, whatever. You know, I mean, it's not that he hasn't had a great year, but, you know, it's like, okay, here, you know, here we go. It'll just be wonderful to deal with all this BS off season and, you know, have to listen to how Jose Altuve got robbed. But yeah, I thought it was kind of funny, Dan. I was kind of interested that, you know, they were reporting all day yesterday Bryce Harper was going to be activated. He, you know, he was coming back tonight to get in the Nationals lineup. You know, they were taking on the Phillies with Aaron Nola. And it was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, where he's going to get back. He'll have, you know, what is it, 7 or 10 games or so to get ready. That's plenty of time. And then the Nationals come out and announce that he's not in the lineup tonight because he has the flu. So, but I, you know, obviously, you know, they're getting him back at the right time. Do you think this is enough games to get him ready? How many at bats do you think he needs?
15. I don't think he needs that many.
Yeah, because they have, what do they have left here? They have 3 against Philadelphia and 4 against Pittsburgh to round out this, to end the season here. So obviously he's not playing tonight. So he's got 6 games to get ready. You figure maybe the minimum, you know, if he's going to get 4 at-bats a game, 24 is plenty to get him in the groove for the NLDS.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be going against pitchers where he should be able to just kick back in the groove.
So, yeah, because, you know, you always wonder when, you know, when guys come back, and obviously he couldn't go on any type of rehab assignment because the minor league seasons are all wrapped up. So he's just been taking, you know, BP and all that stuff. I know they were all excited yesterday. I had the MLB Network on, and they showed a clip of him running, you know, the bases, and everybody was just, like, thrilled. And it's like, well, we've seen him run the bases a million times. You know, what's the big deal here? But, yeah, it was quite humorous. I got quite a kick out of that. But it'll be interesting to see how he returns to start off. I want to see if he comes back slow or if he can kind of pick up where he left off. Are you on either side, or do you think he can come back and be lights out, or do you think it may take him, you know, a couple at bats or maybe a game to kind of be like, oh, okay, this is what it's like to face live pitching?
I think it might take him a game or two. You know, I wouldn't, you know, if it were just the injury, but now that he's got the flu, I think that takes a little bit of energy out of him. A little bit of focus out of him.
And if you were pitching against him, you'd throw at him with the first pitch, wouldn't you?
I would go inside.
So, and yeah, you know, we are closer and closer to getting everything aligned for the playoffs. I thought I saw, you would know this, the Cubs' magic number is 2 to clinch the division now.
Ooh.
So if not, I'm sure, you know, Sean or Stu would be able to tell us. The Twins, you know, it's looking more and more like the Twins are going to get that second American League wildcard spot. They've opened up a 4.5 game lead over the Angels.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they've really stretched it out here. They've won 4 in a row. So while the Angels have kind of floundered, they did win yesterday, but they're 3-7 in their last 10. So, you know, Mike Trout is going to have to really get going if he wants to be the MVP again and, you know, lead this team to the playoffs. You know, Arizona clinched yesterday with their win. The Rockies are just 2 games up on the Brewers and 2.5 on the Cardinals. You know, I don't really think Milwaukee or St. Louis is playing well enough to, even though it's just 2 games, I don't think they're playing well enough to catch them. And I believe they have a series with each other.
Yeah,
the Cardinals get the Cubs tonight, and it looks like Milwaukee is off. And I think the Cubs and the Cardinals, that's a 4 gamer, right?
Yeah. And then Milwaukee has the Reds tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah, and then St. Louis to end the season. Is it? Do you know if it's 3 games or 4 games against St. Louis?
It's 3 games.
So So, yeah, you know, and then I know Colorado has Miami.
Well, that should be good for them.
But I don't know. Yeah, you know, so that's, Miami, you know, no longer playing for anything. They've been eliminated. So, yeah, they, you know, they've got that. And, you know, again, they're at home, so that's a plus. And then they, oops, I hit the wrong button. Where are we going here? You know, they, who does Colorado wrap up against? Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Come on, be nice to me. After Miami heads out, oh, they actually play the Dodgers the final three games of the season. But that may work out for them because, you know, what are the Dodgers playing for unless maybe they're still in it for best record in the National League. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you got St. Louis or Milwaukee finding a way to get in a wild card game?
No, I think we're going to end up with Colorado and Arizona.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, Arizona.
St. Louis really needs to sweep the Cubs, I think, if they want to even really get a good shot at that.
I kind of thought that Milwaukee was in. Fantasy tournaments, and I did beat him. So I have continued on in our fantasy, whatever you want to call it, here at the end of the year, and Dan is at home because his season is done.
No, I'm barely after seventh place.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what am I playing for, like fifth or something like that, or I don't even remember what it is. Yeah,
well,
so.
To jump to fifth place.
You know, so yeah, that's the excitement when you know you don't get in, you go in the
well, you know,
wonderful.
What really sucks though, is that 4 or 5 weeks ago, the two teams, pretty much all, you know, the four teams battling out for first through fourth, I beat them. So I thought going to the playoffs that, yeah, it was going to happen again. Nope. First round, I was out. And then you beat me. Not fair.
Yeah, you want to know what's not fair is the last day of the first round, I was tied. And he had a guy playing the Sunday night game, and the guy got him just enough stats to win a category. So I lost 14 to 12.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, in the auction league, I'm getting my butt handed to me now, but he must have had all Yankees playing for him. I actually tied for the first round of consolation, and I guess my tie was a tiebreaker, so I got to move on for fifth place.
Ah. So yeah, that was just just my excitement for the baseball season was, you know, that it does look like I'm going to manage to pull off. I need 3 points out of my kicker, Dan, to win both my games in our fantasy football league. So hopefully I can manage that and have a somewhat solid fantasy week, but. We shall see. I did want to, you know, switch over right away here, Dan. You and I didn't get a chance to talk about this because it happened while we were off the air. But the Knicks finally find a taker for Carmelo Anthony, and it ends up being the Oklahoma City Thunder. But they shipped off your guy Dougie McBuckets again.
Yeah, I don't think he really fit Oklahoma's game, and the handful of games I've seen him play, I think he came off the bench less than he did for Tom Thibodeau.
So, yeah, I always thought, I know it's weird because one of the knocks they keep complaining about McDermott is that he doesn't play defense. And, okay, I can understand that when maybe you're playing for Tom Thibodeau, but, Dan, can you name me three guys in the NBA that play defense?
Jimmy Butler.
So,
yeah,
Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, and, So, but, yeah, now, and of course the question right away, this gives Oklahoma City, obviously they acquired Melo, they acquired Paul George, so they team him up with Russell Westbrook. So the big key now is, are these three guys good enough to beat what the Warriors have?
I mean, as long as George and Melo stay healthy, I think that's the biggest thing you have to worry about.
Say we get down to it, we actually get to the Western Conference Finals and it's Golden State against Oklahoma City. Is this enough to get you interested in it? Or, are we still just kind of assuming that it's OKC and Cleveland when we, or excuse me, Golden State and Cleveland when we get there at the end?
Well, I mean, I'm still assuming it's those two at the end, but depending on how they play, how they match up to play throughout the season, Oklahoma and their play through the playoffs. And, depending on the referees, too. We know how that goes.
Yeah. I mean, in reality, the team that is going is the team that the NBA wants to go. So whoever they kind of decide is going to the finals is going to the finals. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And you can, say whatever you want to say, but that's how these things work in the NBA. So, it's just, just the way of the, the world there. But yeah, let me see if I can find it here. I know they gave up, Doug McDermott, we talked about a little bit. I know they gave up Enes Kanter as well, but I'm not quite sure. I wanted to see if there was anybody else of like name value or anything involved in the, no, it just looks like it's the two guys. So in reality, was there a third one? They've only got two listed here. The Knicks, they didn't get a whole lot for Carmelo, did they, in the end?
No, they had to match salary, of course, but I don't know. I think, working with, Kristaps Porzingis, Tim Hardaway, it's a move towards the future, right?
Yeah, except for now the reports are that Porzingis wants out.
Well, I mean,
so
yeah, NBA players get what they want, so.
So, yeah, we'll have to, we'll have to see. Hey, they still got Joakim Noah, though. No comment.
Well, he'll be a great moral support, right? I'm trying to think of something.
He's the perfect guy to cheerlead from the bench, right? I mean, could not go wrong? So, there are conflicting reports. I heard earlier in the day Porzingis wants out of New York. Now there's an article here on the Mickey Mouse website that's saying he wants to leave the issues in his past and continue on with the Knicks. So who knows what he's doing now?
Yeah. Well, everyone has to write a story. But I think the real interesting thing, when Dwayne Wade signs his contract with the Cavaliers. $2 million?
Because I believe they can only afford to sign him to the veterans minimum. So I don't know what is anymore. Because they're maxed out in a half. Yeah, they worked in their buyout. I heard somebody say he gave up $8 million to take the buyout. $8 million to Dwayne Wade is like Dan losing $8 out of his pocket. So it's not that big of a deal for him. Even though if I lost the $8, I'd go around looking for it because that's just me. Now I've heard other reports, you know, I guess San Antonio apparently wants to talk to him. Obviously Cleveland is going to be one of the first choices. Does he end up with his buddy in Cleveland, or do you think maybe he goes somewhere else?
I mean, I really think he'll end up in Cleveland, but, you know, it's the only way that throws curveballs at you. So I think San Antonio would be a good landing spot, too. But I think if he wants another ring, Cleveland is the spot to go. Or even Golden State. I mean, why not join that group?
Yeah, you know, one more year. Might as well go play LeBron's final year in Cleveland with him, right?
Yeah. Try to get that third championship together.
And I did find it interesting that it looks like Isaiah Thomas isn't going to be ready for the start of the season for Cleveland. So if they did sign Wade, the starting backcourt in Cleveland would probably be D. Rose and D. Wade. Now talk about two guys who can't play defense. Yeah, you complain about Doug McDermott. Yeah, watch Wade and Rose try to play defense on somebody.
Usually go to Oldsburg. I mean, I don't even think they ever cross the half court.
Yeah. So, just one of those things, you know, how it works. And you know, while I did mention they said Wade left $8 million on the table, that meant his buyout was $15.8 million. Okay? So before anybody feels too sorry for him, yeah. The other teams they're mentioning here, of course, they're saying the Cavs are the front runners. Mentioned the Spurs. Apparently the Miami Heat want to talk to him. I don't know why they'd want to bring him back. And I guess Oklahoma City is actually interested in as well. I don't know where he would fit there, but So, and well, here you go, Dan. Here's what he can get from each of those teams, okay? He could sign with the Spurs the Heat, actually. The Heat have the most money right now they could offer him at $4.2 million. The Spurs have $3.3 million. The Cavs are at $2.5 million, and the Thunder are at $2.3 million. So yeah, that's depending on what he's looking for on top of the other money there, he could end up in those places. To see how that all works out, but
well, you know, they always say the NBA offseason is the most interesting part of it.
Yeah, well, isn't it? You know, the games are kind of blah. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of nice to see the first set of games or whatever. You know, that's always fun. Oh, hey, they look like this now, or they look like that now, or this guy's here. You know, like, I'll be interested to see Carmelo play that first game with Oklahoma City. But, after that, I don't know how much more excitement I'll have about it. You know, I definitely see that. I mean, you know, now does this, you know, now, well, here's the question, Dan. Who wins more games next year, the Knicks or the Bulls?
The Knicks.
So, because, like, you know, obviously, Chomberg Stu's emailing me trying to figure out what the heck the Bulls are doing. We, of course, don't know. I mean, well, I guess we do know they're tanking. But, you know, are they, I told them I figure they'll win between 10 and 15 games next year. Do you have them that high, or do you see them possibly being a single-digit win team?
You know, it's funny because you don't really think that they could be possible, but I mean, who's even on this team anymore?
Yeah, you know, it's weird because I was just kind of wondering that. It's like, who are they gonna, you know, who the heck are they, you know, they gonna end up having on this team? I mean, you know, they made the trade obviously for you know, Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn, but LaVine is still out probably till maybe January. Here, I'm looking at the roster here, Dan. The names you'll know, Robin Lopez is still there. Nikola Mirotic. Of course, your guy Cameron Payne. Bobby Portis is on the roster still, so Denzel Valentine. And then Paul Zipser was there last year. So, yeah, that's some of the names they're looking at. Cristiano Felicio, he had some decent rebounding games there. But, yeah, there's not a – I'm not quite sure how or if or where they're going to beat anybody.
I mean, I still think they're good for at least 15 games. Talking about the East.
Yeah,
I talked about the West.
Yeah, I have to double check this, but I believe the worst team in the league last year won 20. Was it 20 games? Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets were the worst team in the NBA last year, and they were 20-62. So you got to figure the Bulls are good to accidentally stumble into at least maybe what 15 or 18 wins.
Yeah, I mean, 18, I like that number.
So, yeah, it's definitely going to make them very difficult to watch. So, but, yeah, I you know, I just, it's like, oh, boy.
I mean, you don't think they'll make the playoffs one more time, 8 seed?
Yeah. I don't see them sneaking in as the 8th seed like they did last year. You know, it is interesting. You know, they're going to be probably at least 20 games worse. You know, they were 41-41 last year. If they get to 21 wins this year, it'll probably be lucky. So, and I do find it humorous that now that the Bulls have decided to tank, the NBA is looking into changing the draft lottery rules.
Well, that wouldn't take place next year. It would take place from 19-20.
Well, we'll see. You know, the NBA can, you know, get stuff done a lot quicker than really can. So it, you know, it might. I don't think they would do anything, but you know, it's kind of like great. You know, just what the Bulls need. It's like, all right, we're going to be bad, you know, so we can get some cool draft picks and, you know, draft the other ball kid when he comes out of college. So.
Well, that's not going to be allowed. He's not going to come work out in Chicago.
No, and I couldn't, probably can't blame him for that. I don't think, you know, a lot of guys are going to want to come work out in Chicago for at least the next few years until we put it together, but it's now how many Bulls games do you envision yourself watching?
Well, when the Blackhawks aren't on. Well, I mean, here's the bigger question. How many Bulls games will they continue to win on TNT Thursday night? And how many will
they get
to play?
Are they on this year?
Yeah. That's the other question.
You know, yeah. Yeah, did TNT just take them off the schedule after they saw what was going on? So that will be it'll be interesting. I can't say it's going to be fun, but it definitely going to be interesting. So we'll see, you know, who does what or how this all kind of shakes out. But I'm kind of like you. I think even with the even with the changes and guys kind of going here or there, I don't think it's made a whole bunch of difference yet. You know, I mean, we're still going to get the Warriors, barring an injury, of course. And then, the Cavaliers. I think the Cavaliers are a little more vulnerable. than the Warriors are, but.
Yeah, you never know. Well, you know, the other thing with the NBA trying to stop the tanking thing, I mean, I think it's a little harder than you can expect because, I mean, at the same time, the Bulls can come out and say that that's not what they're trying to do by acquiring high draft picks from other teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that can be the tough thing is how do you prove a team is tanking?
You know, because obviously they, for the Bulls, they finally figured out that, you know, Jimmy and company wasn't part of Fred Hoiberg's game plan. It wasn't working out. Or fitting his system, that's the word. And you're able to sell Jimmy at his height, so.
Yeah, and, you know, you do wonder, you know, if Derrick Rose could have stayed healthy, if this may have been a, you know, a little different team going down the way here. You know, they had all the, you know, all the potential, and then all of a sudden, you know, Rose just couldn't stay healthy. You know, you wonder if he doesn't go through those, you know, two really bad knee injuries, if, you know, maybe this is a different team and, you know, they're pushing Cleveland a little bit, but, you know, obviously it did not work that way. You know, he ended up, you know, getting injured multiple times and, you know, that's just kind of how it goes.
Well, do you think if he was, you know, didn't have the injuries and was still at that MVP status that for some crazy reason LeBron would have came to Chicago?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you know, again, one of those things, you know, you just never know. I mean, maybe it was something he would have considered seriously. You know, because you think about it, I mean, if you could have put LeBron on the court with D. Rose and Jimmy Butler, that's a pretty form of a three, you know, with a healthy D. Rose, you know, an MVP caliber D. Rose. You know, that's some really, you know, good weaponry to have there. But, you know, again, you don't know. I mean, you know, was that LeBron's plan all along? Was just to, you know, go win some titles and then go back to Cleveland and try to do it there? You know, I mean, I believe the guy has it all planned out. Like, I know he already knows what he's doing, not this season, but next season. You know, is he going to go to L.A. or is he going to stay? What's he going to do? He knows what's going on. He's just not telling any of us. So. But, yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
we can't talk to Magic.
Right. You know, I mean, but I definitely think, yeah, it would have made a heck of a, you know, a heck of a big three, as they put it now in the NBA, if, you know, it would have worked out that way. But, you know, sadly, like I said, Rose just kept getting hurt.
Yeah, and well, and if you had a joking note to that mix, I mean,
yeah,
you have a really big, solid four guys.
Yeah, you know, they had some good pieces. You know, and the tough part was, you know, it all kind of centered around, you know, Derrick Rose, because Jimmy Butler was just kind of coming into his game then. And, you know, sadly, you know, you look at it and he just couldn't stay healthy. And then he couldn't get his foot out of his mouth. You know, and I mean, now you look at him and he's nowhere near that MVP form. He's nowhere near the player who won the MVP. So
he's not even 30 either.
Yeah, that's the sad part is, I mean, he's still extremely young. And, you know, while his outside shot never developed, you know, he, you know, with the knee injuries and stuff, he's not that really super kind of drive to the basket guy anymore either. So he's, you know, he's in a tough kind of role-playing spot. That's one of the reasons I think Cleveland was a good landing spot for him. So we'll yeah, it won't be too long before they get fired up. I know, I believe camp opened today, I think, for just about every team, and I think the exhibition games start in 5 days or so. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be one of, you know, one of those, you know, before we know it, it's going to be here. So.
Well, the NHL already started their preseason.
Yes, they did. As a matter of fact, the Bruins have already scored on the Blackhawks. They're leading 1-0 early in the first period. So, you know, yeah. Have you caught a lot of or any of the games yet? I've only seen like bits and pieces.
I tried catching some of it either Friday or Saturday night, but we've been kind of caught up with unpacking.
Yes. So, well, that'll be fun. Well, you should be done now, right?
Sure, that's what you think.
But, you know, I did decide, Dan, that there truly is a Sports Time Radio jinx when it comes to us picking games. And yesterday was really yesterday. I mean, it started right from the bat when, you know, Jacksonville blew out Baltimore and we all had Baltimore. But yeah, yesterday we lost 6 games where we all selected the same team to win. And, you know, it's not like we were going out on a limb and picking, you know, Buffalo to beat Denver, which I thought was a huge upset. But yeah, we lost legitimate games that looked like, you know, like who would have figured out that the Bears could have beat Pittsburgh? I clueless.
Yeah, well, if Trubisky was in the game, they would have won in regulation.
Would have been a blowout, huh? Yeah, it wouldn't have been a problem. He'd have racked up 40 points. So, well, you know, what's funny is, like, I heard guys complaining yesterday, even though they won, about him playing, and I was like, what, Glennon's incapable of handing the football off? You know, what, you know, you don't think Trubisky would have done the same thing? So, you know, but all right, well, it brings us to the fun point that, you know, I guess we have to talk about. How's your take on our president getting involved with the NFL and what these guys are doing? So, oh, all right. I think Dan has to just listen for a few minutes. But, you know, there were, you know, a lot of different forms of protest and, you know, again, I'll always be the one to say that I don't like what they're doing, but I support their right to do it. I think I've said that from the beginning. You know, I'm to the point now where I honestly think they should just play the national anthem before the teams take the field, get it over with. We can be done with this, you know, kind of BS and have to worry about who's kneeling and who's standing. And, you know, it's just, you know, it needs to be done and over with. It's just, you know, originally it started, you know, Colin Kaepernick was kneeling because he felt African Americans were being unfairly treated by law enforcement. I'm not sure if that's the issue now. I mean, did guys do it yesterday because of the stuff President Trump said? So, you know, you just got to kind of wonder where or how or why these guys were doing it. And, you know, again, I mean, if you wanted to kneel, hey, great, kneel. You didn't want to, that's fine. I support that. I know the Steelers stayed in the locker room. More or less, they actually stayed in the tunnel, but one of their players, one of their offensive linemen and I'm drawing a blank. I know his last name is Villanueva. I believe it's Alejandro. Actually served in the military, so he came out and stood in the, you know, in the entryway. And, you know, again, I don't think he was just trying to make a statement. That's just, you know, how he was. I mean, I know there were military guys who supported the kneeling. You know, I heard that or saw that on Twitter and here and there. But you just wonder, you know, are they accomplishing what their goal was set out to be? So,
I don't think they know what their goal is. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, Kaepernick did it for a reason. Now everyone's just doing it to do it. And, I mean, say what you want about the president, but, I mean, if anyone really truly believes that Donald Trump is sitting there on his tablet or his cell phone or whatever you think he's on,
yeah,
and actually using Twitter, then you're, you know, wow. That's all I have to say. I mean, I say what you want, but I don't believe that he's on Twitter saying and doing all this.
Here's your conspiracy, Dan, because you're the conspiracy theory guy. The big complaints about week one and two for the NFL, attendance was down, TV ratings were down. Now, Donald Trump is friends with a lot of these owners because they're rich Republicans. Rich white Republicans, just like Donald Trump is. Well, Dan, for week three, attendance was up and ratings were up.
Because of what he
interesting,
said.
Isn't it? Who knows, maybe. You know, that could have possibly had a reason. Nobody really knows. But, again, attendance was up and ratings were up. Oh.
Well, you know, it also coincided with the first 2 weeks of the NFL were so bombarded with hurricanes and natural disasters in our country that, you know, the southern half could have just not been on it, even though they're primarily college guys, college watchers, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I'm done with it. I'm over it. I don't see what they're doing or what they're trying to accomplish, at least after the fact Kaepernick came out, stuck to put his money where his mouth is, and started donating to causes. You got a bunch of NFL guys kneeling for what? Whatever reason.
Yeah.
Support Kaepernick's cause, but Kaepernick didn't even start a fund or a foundation or a charity. So I think it's all for nothing. I mean, I don't even want to. I turned on the radio driving. I had to go get some more of my stuff from the move on Sunday afternoon. And believe it or not, both of our local stations, all they were talking about was the kneeling. I turned it off. I put on regular,
yeah,
you know, put on repetitive music radio because I don't really care. I mean, if I were a CBS executive or a Fox exec producer on either end, I wouldn't even show them.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even acknowledge that Pittsburgh wasn't out there. I just wouldn't show it.
No, you know, that's my thing. I am convinced now that the best thing to do is just let them stay in the locker room and play the national anthem before they come out to, you know, warm up for the game. You know, let's not even deal with this. It's just too much BS. So, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, the other sports have got in. You saw Bruce Maxwell of the A's ended up becoming the first baseball player to kneel. I'm sure once basketball rolls around, we're going to get it. You know, I know LeBron James went on his Twitter account and really started to rip on Donald Trump. Of course, he's just following Steph Curry, so I guess he thought it was safe. I did see where NASCAR sent out memos to their teams saying that if anybody knelt during the national anthem, they would no longer be employed. So, you know, the NBA does have this rule as well. You know, while they do, you know, allow their players to make statements and do stuff like that, there actually is a rule that they will all stand for the national anthem. So I'll be interested to see how that works out when the NBA season comes along here in a little bit. But, yeah, it's just, you know, like I'm convinced more guys did it yesterday because of the tweet. You know,
yeah.
If that tweet would have never came out from, you know, whoever runs Donald Trump's Twitter account, I mean, you and I both know it's not him, but you know, whoever runs the account, if that wouldn't have came out, we probably wouldn't even be talking about this right now.
No, and that's the thing that just cracks me up the most is, you know, believe it or not, I liken our president to the role of Joe Madden when he came into Chicago for the Cubs. They were doing bad. And, you know, we talked about it a million times. What was he really there for? He was there to take any deflection off the team, off the players, and put it on himself. You know, we kind of came to that conclusion with Lonzo Ball. Or wait, LeVar, right? Who's that? LeVar's the
LeVar,
dad, right?
Yeah, LeVar's
so confused.
I don't know. I can't
you know,
keep him straight either.
So. I'm getting old. I'm turning into Mr. Fantasy. But, you know, at the end of the day, LeVar Ball, his whole thing is, yeah, open your mouth, say what you want. It's really not going to ruin his kids, you know, as long as they can ball. No pun intended.
Yeah.
And as long as they don't say or do anything stupid, they're fine. Their dad could do all the stupid and say all the stupid things he wants, and it's just going to draw more attention to them. And then you're going to see these kids and go, oh, well, until the third one rolls around and gets a little older, I think he's going to be the trouble one, the wild child. I'm not saying he's going to be a bad kid, but, you know, he's going to be the one that's going to push things a little harder than the Lonzo and LiGello. But, you know, like, comparing the three, Joe Madden, LeVar, and the president, you're just kind of the spokesperson. What does he really do? And you're telling me a 7-year-old man's on Twitter. I don't buy it.
Yeah, I can't get Schomburg Stew on Twitter to save my life, you know. So, you know, I've been trying and trying, and it's just not working out for me. So, you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, you know, I'm also kind of under the impression there are bigger issues we should probably be worrying about. You know, especially this has kind of strayed so far from where it originally came from. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, Kaepernick's thing started with the injustice with the police. You know, Dallas tried to do something to honor them, and they were fined and told they couldn't do it. I mean, if it's such a big issue, why aren't these players' teams working together with the police and the alleged neighborhoods that it's happening in? I don't see that happening.
Yeah,
everyone,
well,
I see a lot of people kneeling for what they believe in, but not doing anything about it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the difficult part, in reality, you know, I don't totally blame them, is, you know, the players aren't going to go into those kind of neighborhoods unless there's a spectacle made out of it. Because let's face it, they're just not safe. You know, I mean, I don't go into those neighborhoods because they're not safe. No matter what the color people who are living there are, I could care less. It's just, you know, one of those things where it's, man, you know, should I be here? You know, is this really, you know, where we need to be at this point in time? But yeah, I'm under the impression there's better ways to help this or go about it. And, you know, I don't think kneeling for the national anthem does it. You know, it makes a statement, sure, but does it really help your cause?
No, it's just a continuation of the election to divide the country.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, that's all it is. And, the weird part is, I mean, if people just kind of looked at it the right way, you know, obviously Trump is going to be a one-term guy. So he's only got a few more years in office, and then we're going to have to start over with somebody else. So, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, great. You know, you couldn't, you know, just one of, you know, one of those things, you know, like Mr. Fantasy and I discussed it a little yesterday. You know, I have no problem with people going out and protest. You know, the problem I have is when they decide it's okay to rob a store or burn down a store or even stop traffic because, you know, how do you know you're not stopping somebody in the middle of an emergency, mm-hmm. you know, or you're not stopping somebody who has to get to work on time? You know, again, I have no problem with you protesting and supporting your cause, but you shouldn't be allowed to influence and affect other people like that. You know, because you could mess up somebody's life. I mean, you stop that guy from getting to work or that girl from getting to work, and what do you do if they get fired?
On the protest.
So, right. You know, you think somebody's boss is going to care because you got stuck in traffic because of a protest? No. You know, I mean, God forbid, what if you were trying to get somebody to the hospital and they lost their life because you got stuck behind a bunch of people standing in the street waving their signs? You know, and I mean, now not advocating that you run these people over. I've seen idiots do that too, and they're just as wrong. But, you know, there's got to be a, you know, a give and take with this. And, you know, right now I think sports is just kind of lost in the middle of it. And, it, you know, it's like they just don't know how to get their way out. You know, it's like when you do that internet challenge, you put on, you know, you put on all the t-shirts and then you can't get them off and you're just kind of stuck in all these t-shirts. I think sports is just kind of stuck in about 75 t-shirts.
Yeah. Well, the thing that they have the platform, but they're using it completely wrong because they are the platform.
Oh, Dan, now I can't even go and turn the black game when we get done. They're losing 3-0 already.
Wow, that's how the
just
puck drops. You like that one?
I gotta look see who's in goal. Yes, how the puck drops. That was very good. I gotta see who's in goal because I'm assuming it's not Corey Crawford.
Well, it's not.
Oh no,
Chuck
it
Darling.
Is. He's given up. Corey Crawford's given up 3 goals on 5 shots. Whoops. So let's see. Jonathan Toews isn't playing. Is Pat? So yeah, there's not gonna be a whole bunch of reason for me to run and turn that game on when we're done here. Speaking of which, Dan and I are done here. Look at that, how that worked out, huh? Hey, don't worry though. We're gonna come back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. You know the deal while we're away, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. You can also find Dan and I on Twitter as well. Hey, we really appreciate you listening to us live. Thanks for taking time out of your day to do that. But don't forget, you can listen to the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com. SportsTimeRadio.com.